Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Bachelorette Wrap-Up. I'm Amy, here as always with the lovely Haley Strong. Haley, how are you doing tonight?
Well, Amy, I just want you to apologize to me for talking to me in general, and I just need you to look inside yourself and realize that you shouldn't talk to me. and I just want you to apologize for that. I think I deserve an apology because you were talking to me.
Well, Haley, you know, I'm going to call you out if I feel like something is wrong. I don't think that it warrants an apology.
Well,
I
don't think you should call me out. Like, I think only I should be allowed to call you out. I don't think you should call me out because I'm just trying to express my feelings. And if my feelings include name calling, then I should be able to express those feelings.
I mean, yep, it's valid that your feelings, you know what? I think we need a mediator to come in and help us. Look, there's a limo arriving. We've got Asia Welch here. Maybe she can help us straighten this out.
Oh, we have somebody new on the podcast. I can't wait to be incredibly rude to them for an hour and a half without them understanding why.
Right. Oh, Haley, I think we need to watch out for this girl.
Are you wearing a crown? Because I think I'm just going to take it off your head without asking and put it on my head. And then when I'm done with it, I'm just going to put it on the table instead of giving it back to you directly.
We're all so mature. So mature.
Yeah.
Well, I know I'm mature. Like, I don't know if you guys are mature or not. So.
Bow down to Queen Haley. Asia, welcome to the podcast.
I promise I'm not going to bully you. I promise I'm going to be nice. That was just that time.
Good emerging.
Oh, that was spot on.
This was an interesting episode, so I'm really glad we have a guest to help us. I feel like there's some new faves, some new people to hate. So
I'm still hating the old people, frankly.
Right.
I'm really glad to have Asia here. Not only is she one of us that she talks about a reality dating slash marriage show here on the Reality TV Wrap-Ups Network. But I feel like we've been spinning our circles and, you know, spinning our wheels for weeks now. And like, I'm tired of hearing myself say the same things week after week after week. So I'm so thrilled that Asia is here to say, I'm guessing, Asia, if you feel the same way we do, so you're going to say the same things as us, just like maybe slightly differently, which we appreciate.
Right. I'm here to just provide a new version of what you've already been saying. So.
We love a confirmation bias.
Yeah. Well, Asia, could you tell us a little bit about yourself for the listeners who may not know you from other RHAP content?
Yeah. So I, like Amy said, I'm Asia Welch. I was a part of the RHAP class of 2020. So I hopped on board and started helping out with coverage of Big Brother 22 last year. And now I've just been kind of hopping around the RHAP universe and most recently did a coverage of the premiere of Married at First Sight. So go check that out. Rob and I. That is a show
for the ages. It is a show on television.
Right. Haley, Asia and I will try not to deviate into discussing the mess that is about to happen on that show. But
I want to hear all about it because I watched that first season for you, Amy. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I could do it again.
Yeah.
It's so much drama, but it's so entertaining. And I've just found myself sucked in every single season. So definitely hoping for some more coverage in the near future. That's just a little bit about me. I'm from Houston, Texas. My puppy is my life. Her name is Pepper. She's a little Malshi Poo. So she's a Maltese Shih Tzu poodle. And she's 6 months old. And since I work from home, I just spend all my time with her.
If you were the Bachelorette, would you bring your dog with you to live in the villa?
Absolutely. Because, you know, you want to see if the guy is interested in your puppy as well, because if they're not, that can very much so be a deal breaker.
Well, and you want to make sure your dog likes them.
Right.
Because if your dog doesn't like them, that's probably, a red flag right there.
Right, the vibe.
And if you were a contestant on The Bachelor, would you pull a Crystal and bring Pepper right out of the limo?
That was very bold, but you know what? That would be memorable. And if it were Matt, oh my goodness, I will across this podcast, I will definitely talk about how much eye candy this man is. But yes, for Matt, I would pull out all of the stops, including bringing Pepper, because I'm like, okay, she's going to make me look even more attractive. So that'll help.
Would your profession be dog lover if you were a contestant on the show?
And definitely would be Pepper's mom.
Perfect. I love that. I love that for all of us. Right. When did you start watching The Bachelor, Bachelorette, Bachelor in Paradise, Bachelor Pad, Bachelor Universe, Associated Shows?
Yeah, I kind of took a break during college. So I started in high school, took a big break during college. I'm 28, so I graduated college in like 2013. So I saw some here and there. But I've been consistent, I guess you can say, since 2013 with like The Bachelor and Bachelorette. So I'm trying to think back to the Bachelor season after Sean's season. So I didn't see Sean's season, but I know all about his love story. And then I saw The Bachelor after him and then every season since.
You know about it because Sean keeps appearing on all the other episodes. Right.
Yeah, and he made a trip over. Him and Catherine were on Marriage Boot Camp.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so I saw them on there and then I was intrigued.
Did they have any real problems?
No, they were they were definitely one of those couples that were, okay, we're here to look great, but oh, we might have a little tiff, and then they kind of like try to blow that up. But
wasn't there a big drama that Sean wanted Catherine to be like a stay-at-home mom, and then when Molly was there, she didn't like that or something weird like that?
It was something like that, but it was
that was Wife Swap. I mixed them up. Wife Swap.
They did that too.
Wow. On Marriage Boot Camp, they did have some type of issue where Sean wasn't okay with something that Catherine did, but I can't remember what it was.
Oh, so funny. Are they like, so they're Houston, you're Houston, they're Dallas, right?
Are they in Dallas?
I think they're somewhere in Texas.
I think it might be Dallas. Let me do just a quick little IG search.
Right. I did not know that. I'm originally from Dallas. So
and Harrison is supposedly moving out somewhere in Texas too. So we could have a whole little like Bachelor Nation, a new hub out there.
Right.
And I know on the podcast you did with Rob about Married at First Sight, you talked about how they filmed in Houston. So do you ever think about, like, what if I had gone on the show? Who would they have matched me up with on Married at First Sight?
Yes. Oh my gosh. So I'm really curious because I think it's the next season that's airing is going to be in Houston. And then the next one they just announced is like Boston. But I'm like, oh my gosh, that could have been me. I can't trust them to to match me. I mean, no. I can't even trust myself to pick someone.
I feel like they go for half the people, as we saw with last season. I feel like they're like, okay, we'll give these ones a good shot. This will be a cute couple. These are soulmates. And then 50% they're like, let's just go for the mess. These will never work out. And we just want some entertaining television.
Yeah.
I watched the first season. I feel like on that season, they genuinely tried very hard to have people who liked each other. But then, like, the next season, they just went, you know what? Wouldn't it be great if we legally tied these two people together and they hated each other? Like, LOL.
Yeah,
which it feels like they're doing on The Bachelor this season. They're like, should we bring women with conflicting personalities on this show? Like, yes.
Yeah, exactly.
But we have some news to talk about first.
Bachelor news. Bachelor Nation news. You know, we're still reeling over the breakup of Claire and Dale. So, Asia, I would love to get your reaction because this was kind of breaking news last week when we recorded. So there's been some new, I don't know if it's developments or just new social media response. But was this something that shocked you at all?
You know what? It didn't shock me one bit. The moment that they were doing that little reunion thing with Chris Harrison and she said babies and his face was stone cold, no reaction, no smile, no, ha ha, you're right. So funny, Claire. I was like, oh, they're not going to last.
Yeah.
I am surprised.
He didn't acknowledge it at all.
Yeah, exactly. I'm surprised it came so soon. I thought they would at least make it through Matt's season.
Right.
to kind of just
this is
like
how we define time now. Like, let's just see how another like cycle of Bachelor goes through.
Yeah. Like ride that wave a little bit longer. But yeah, I wasn't surprised. I am surprised how it's being handled. Like, you know, you have Claire posting stories with Rise Up playing in the background.
Oh my god. I hope if Ethan and I ever break up, I get really into playing like sad ballads on my Instagram stories and never really telling any of the details. I just want to be as vague as possible.
Yeah. Right. Just endless quotes. I think it's making me think of Annalise. Remember Annalise from Ari's season? I don't know much of her story, but I know she moved out to Hawaii, so I'm totally envious of that. But like all her, and supposedly she was supposed to go with a boyfriend or something, and then that didn't work out. So she's on her own, but like all her posts are like she's gotten into poetry, so it's just poems with her captions. So there's different ways to heal from heartbreak.
Yeah, and Dale is definitely showing that because when like around the time he posted the breakup post, he was making stories like happy his sister was in New York and just doing fun stuff. His Instagram story showed no sign of a breakup. And so, of course, he revisited his Instagram stories and posted him looking sad. He's like, I know people have been looking at my Instagram stories and thought I was just having fun, but this sucks. I still have a lot of love for Claire, but this is what was healthiest for both of us, and I'm just glad I have my friends and family with me to, you know, see me through this. So I was like, oh, so genuine, Dale.
Right, he got
genuine and real, our friend Dale.
Yeah. And then did you see there was what was his name? Was it I already forgot. The first impression rose from Tayshia's season.
Spencer.
Spencer was already asking Claire out over Instagram stories.
I mean, let it breathe, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it was an interesting breakup because usually with these Bachelor Nation breakups, we see like both people come out with a post.
Yep.
Both people come up with maybe a picture of the two of them together or looking at the sunset. But no, it was just Dale that had the post and Claire had nothing. And then she came out and said, I learned of that the same time everybody else did. So
yeah. Did you hear the rumor that she started the rumors that he was cheating on her?
No, I didn't hear that.
I mean, like, that's one rabbit hole that I don't know if I can dig deeper into. But I do have 4 days off this weekend, so I might
get back to us.
I might. Although I am about a third of the way into the first guys and girls season of America's Next Top Model, which I do need to finish this week. So we'll see if I can fit that in. Pardon?
You spotted someone on one of these seasons.
You're right. I did. I forgot about that. So I'm sitting in my cocoon watching America's Next Top Model from like 7 years ago, as one does. And out jumps our good friend, the photographer from the other week.
Whoa.
He's a gentleman photographer. Like, good on him. I'm getting that work.
Yeah. In was and out of the pandemic. Like,
prominent of a character back then.
No, but he looks exactly the same.
Okay. So he has
the same styling, same makeup. Like, he's been going heavy on the eyeliner for a long time now.
Okay. And there's also happier news that we've seen in Bachelor Nation. I was shocked by this, but in a good way. Diggy from Rachel's season, aka our podcast boyfriend, the only member of Bachelor Nation that we've had on the podcast. He and his girlfriend are expecting a baby girl.
I'm so excited to promote Diggy from podcast boyfriend to podcast daddy.
Oh.
There we go. Good title. He really keeps things under, you know, like his social media, like you would have had no clue. Like, I knew he had a girlfriend, but barely, you know? So
yeah.
Good for him. He's not out there using the baby to get, you know, partnerships with, I don't even know what they call Solly baby or, you know, the baby carriers, but
or like the what's the pregnancy test? Blue look, clear blue or something?
Oh, clear blue, yeah.
Like
bracelet, you know, the Ava.
What's Sheena from Vanderpump Rules? She got that clear blue spawn.
Nice.
I feel like Diggy could have, but I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, makes it more authentic.
I'm saying that if he wants to seek out those sponsorships and get paid, please do.
That'd be good. Yeah. I want to see a baby in glasses. I love a baby in glasses.
Oh, so cute. Yes.
I love that we keep delaying talking about the episode.
Yeah.
Because this was one of the worst piles of trash I've ever seen in my entire life. And it made me, I'd say, rationally angry pretty much the entire time. It was a very thinly veiled attempt at starting unnecessary drama. And it was dumb and stupid. And I just want to know what you guys think about it.
Yeah, exactly. So we start out with... you know what? Do you remember that Sarah was here last week? We're still talking about the aftermath of Sarah leaving.
I will say one thing they did excellently, and I commend them on it, was that they just completely skipped over the day portion of the second group date. And just we went right to the nighttime.
Okay, I wanted to know your thoughts. Was there a day date?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what confused me. So you think there was a day date? Yeah.
I do. They just cut it because they're like, it doesn't fit with our editing. They want to make it seem like Sarah took up so much time and like, the girls have a reason to hate her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
It was so weird because, I mean, Matt was really exhausted. I felt like I was watching this on like 0.5 speed. It seemed like he barely saw anything with this date at all. And he did talk about like nice, you know, being with you guys tonight. He didn't say like today or on this date. There was no reference to it, but I have to assume they had to sort of like reshoot things or something if that's the case. So maybe that's why. It just seemed like there was no energy, like the energy had been sucked out of the room. So I don't know what they could have been doing. We didn't see a date card. You know what? I'm going to do a little investigating if I can find like any press photos. Sometimes they like release press photos ahead of time, they'll show like a date or something that may have happened, but or a preview or something. But yeah, I was really caught off guard by this. But yeah, Haley, you're saying you didn't miss it?
Listen, I don't care. I'm done caring. Like, I felt like we had so much to get to. Like, I'm thrilled they didn't make it a 3-hour episode. Like, I'm just happy with a lot of things.
Yeah, I was so confused. About that. Yeah, I was so confused. I was like, wait a second. What did I miss? Did I, like, was there a secret scene? Was it, you know, did last week get cut off short? Because I was like, I do not recall. I was literally trying to jog my memory for a day, right. Like day portion of this date. I was like, you know what? Whatever. We're on to the evening. Let me focus on Chelsea.
Yeah. So the only thing we had seen before that was Victoria making a comment. So we get a little bit of like an indicator of what was to come with Victoria's behavior, describing Sarah as taking the trash out. And Katie seemed to be the only one that really called her on that. And that's when, as Haley illustrated at the beginning of the podcast, Victoria later demands an apology for what Katie did because she didn't allow her to freely express herself.
Asia, what are we on Victoria? Like, what do you think about her?
The fact that she is still here and the fact that the producers are continuing to make him give her a rose is beyond me.
It's insulting. It's
like, it is. I'm like, okay, one time, okay, I can see. Let's see her another week. Somebody's enjoying the drama, maybe. But no, I have had it's to the point that I'm upset. You're interfering with Matt finding love because you're so petty. You're making these other girls mad. Props to Katie for like speaking up. No one else would. They just laugh at her. She's not funny. That's what gets me. Like, the producers probably think, oh, she's such great drama. You know, people probably think this is great. She's not funny. It's annoying at this point. And if she lasts another week, I'm just gonna, I don't know.
Fast forward through her parts. Like, I don't know what else to do here. Is I'm so frustrated and I just don't get it. I wonder if part of it was that when they were filming Matt's season, Tayshia's part of the season hadn't aired. And that was so drama free, but it was so satisfying and so lovely. And I think people really enjoyed that. But they didn't have like time to course correct, or maybe they don't care how we feel about the show. It's just infuriating because like I felt like there's so much opportunity here and they've casted some really wonderful women that they're just ruining it. They're ruining something good that they have. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's to the point where like when Victoria becomes, she's so predictable at this point. Like, we know what she's going to pull out of her hat. We know she's going to be mad if someone says anything to her that's not positive. We know that, like, if anyone calls her out, we knew from the moment that one of the new girls arrived with the crown. Everyone looked at Victoria. They knew. Like, okay, so maybe the producers were waiting for that. Maybe they're like, okay, we know Victoria is going to eat this up. And, like, there's going to be something that happens. Maybe they were just waiting for that.
I mean, if she's not gone next week, like, I'm going to, I don't know, take a silence vow on the podcast. Like, Amy, we're going to come here and Amy's going to talk to me and I'm just not going to respond.
I have to think, although it could be Anna, but I have to think that we see a clip next week that he's sending someone out, shutting the door to a car, taking them away, and kind of a voiceover of like, I had to do this for the other women. It has to be Victoria, right?
Please, for the love of God, just let her go. Like, make her leave. I'm so tired of her. And did you see that, like, Good Morning America had a segment with her this week? Like, oh, no, Lord. Don't watch that. Nobody, I usually am pretty good for, like, not telling you what to do and, like, you live your life the way you want. Like, or do not watch that clip.
Watch it and tell us.
Yeah, do not watch that clip. Do not give that woman any more views. She is absurd. I cannot fathom the idea that she will be on Bachelor in Paradise assaulting my brain. Like, I can't do it anymore.
She's not looking for love. She's just looking to be the mean girl. That's why her job title says queen. That, like, that's what she's there for. She's from LA. She's like, she's just there to be the, like, antagonist, like, for no reason. And I, you know, Matt's clearly not interested. You see, when she wanted to continue her part,
it's so frustrating because that's so obvious with who he likes. He does these things where he'll, like we've said it before, he leans 100% to kiss people. When he's having conversations, he'll like tuck his fingers under her knee, under their knee, which is something I would not allow. But
allow Matt James to do it.
I wouldn't allow anyone. My current
absolutely
not allowed to put his fingers near the backside of my knee. I'm uncomfortable with that. But if it's two consenting adults who both want those hands behind their knee, well, then have at her. Anyway, when he's having conversations with Victoria, he's like, this is a love seat. Is there any way we could get a sectional and sit at opposite corners? And he like leans as far back as humanly possible. Like his body language is so like, please, Victoria, stop existing in my space.
Yes.
And when the girls came in, the new girls came in, he's like, toast to the new girl. And then she's like, can I steal ya? He's like, yeah. The producer said, like, I have to say yes. I find you asked to steal me. So let's go.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's talk about the new women.
Yeah.
So bringing them in this late, purely for drama, because they saw what happened on Tayshia's season when they brought four new guys in to like, oh, new drama. Like, these five women.
It made sense for Tayshia, though. Like, we weren't short on any women. So,
yeah. No.
And we had how long were they in their hotel room? We had,
like, were they all coming from the same city? Flights got delayed. COVID tests got delayed. Then it only made sense for them to all come in together. Like, I don't get it. Because Chris Harrison's justification that, you know, Matt, there are so many women that want to meet you. If you go based off of all the women that want to meet Matt, he's going to be bringing in women all season. I won't accept that reason.
Right.
I want to meet a lot of people, but it doesn't mean I'm going to. Right. Okay. And these five women were great. And
yes.
I really like them. And I think we should have started with them from the beginning. And, you know, it's hard to put myself in the shoes of the contestants. But if I was one of the, as they are called, the OG women, I have a hard time not thinking. And I get you get like caught up in these things, not thinking like, oh, this is absolutely a move for the like that the producers are playing to get me mad. So I'm not going to play into it. Again, probably not going to the guy at the end anyway. But they're like, the producers are trying to mess with me. I'm not playing into that. I'm not letting them get that confessional of me saying how shit these other women are. Also,
well, tell that to MJ because
MJ, it's fine. Women. You can do better. I know. I have no faith that Victoria can do better. I know MJ can do better. And the office of bringing five women of color in and then having a bunch of white girls be like, they're trashy. These are trashy girls.
Right.
Like, who approved that? Who thought that was a great idea?
Very good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, we won't even get into
it's infuriating to me. And it felt like Katie was the only one who understood that this was a game. And it's like, it's a game that they're playing. And like, don't get mad. Like, hey, what did you want an opportunity to talk to them? Heard it?
Like, what did they do to them? It's like,
they didn't choose. They acted like they chose to come in late. If they had any choice in the matter, they would have been there day one.
They would have been there 2 weeks earlier.
Yeah.
Right. And according to Brittany, they were in their hotel room that whole time. They were there the same time as everybody else. And obviously, Anna knew that Brittany was on the season because she got warnings about her. So, yeah, totally for drama. It worked, but to what end? Right?
To making me extremely angry. That's what ends. That is the end because I'm mad. I'm mad at the show like I haven't been in a very long time because this is bullshit. This is so stupid. This whole episode was infuriating because then we get Anna being like, oh, Brittany, I heard she's an escort. Like, who gives a shit? Make that money, Brittany.
Right. Like, we do not shame sex workers around here.
Go ahead.
And she kept saying, I mean, it's just a rumor. It's just a rumor, but this is what I heard. So she's going on about it with no like awareness whatsoever. We, you know, nothing to back up anything. And yeah, just ridiculous.
I would say the best thing that came from her rants were just the fact that she was showing every single one of her teeth. And there's this one TikTok, the guy is like mocking her. I was dying. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, her expression. I have to look that up. Not since Olivia Creedy's have we, you know, had such a memorable mouth expression. I mean, yeah, she really showed her true colors here.
I was so angry. And, you know, I have 0.0 ounces of sympathy for Anna saying that she hasn't gotten any time. Like, girl, you've been there for 3.5 weeks. Right. Make time. Sneak off to his apartment. Do something. If you're that concerned about, oh, I didn't get time, and these girls are coming in and thinking they're entitled to time when some of us still haven't got time. Like, obviously, like, why are you here then? Make time. Make it exist. Wake them up. Pretend you're room service bringing him a cake. Pop out of the cake. I don't know. Do something. Pretend like you lost your dog and the dog ran into his yard. And you have to like enlist his help. Like, there's 5 billion things she could do. She could steal a medical. She could break into another date. She could do anything. She could
take lessons from Sarah. There was a lot of ways.
Right.
I'm going to get a bracelet that has WWSD on it. What would Sarah do? And that's break onto a date and visit him in his condo. Like, do something. I have no sympathy for that woman. Brittany, you get your time. Michelle, that was the only part of the episode I enjoyed was her date.
Yes.
What a wonderful woman she is.
That's what I was going to say is like when Chris introduced the 5 women. First of all, he didn't give Matt any choice in the matter. He didn't say like, Matt, you know, you have this group of women. Are you open to 5 more women to just kind of, you know, open the playing field? He's just like, go outside, meet your new women.
That's a really good point. Cause I think way back when there was a season where like 2 new women crashed or something, they were like from a past season. I feel like it was like, do you want to let them in? Mm-hmm. And you know what? And now I'm just thinking, we haven't even seen Heather arrive. We know Heather is showing up at some point, right?
Oh, yeah.
So that's some new drama. I totally forgot about that. But yeah, and he made it seem like there was a death in the family. He was like, I need to pull you away right now. And he was so
middle of the date with Victoria.
Scary. Yeah. So that was not cool.
But yeah, Michelle made it all worth it.
Yeah, she made it all worth it. And I mean, I like really like Catalina. I like them all.
I like all 4 of these girls. Brittany, Ryan, Catalina, and Michelle. Like, sorry, we lost
Kimberly.
Kim. We lost Kim. And I'm sad about that. But we have 4 great women. And I'm mad that we didn't get them from the beginning. And I'm mad that now these girls are going to have to shoulder all of this, like, resentment from the other women. For no fault of their own. Like, they're here for the same
absolutely
reason.
No reason.
What?
Yeah.
Like, Michelle's going to say, like, you know what? Matt, thank you for this date card, but MJ's been here for 3 weeks and she hasn't gotten one yet, so I'm going to pass the date card along to her.
Right.
No.
Right.
No. And no, you're all there to date Matt. Sorry. If she gets the date card, then...
Exactly. Great. And that should show them something. Like in Michelle's brief interaction with Matt and then a little bit of time at the cocktail hour, they should see, wow, she was able to make that much of an impression that he gave her the one-on-one date. Look at me, MJ. I haven't been able to get any. He did not think of me for this date. He thought of this woman who he met last night. And he wants to get to know her. Yes, exactly. Like, take a look at yourself. What are you doing wrong? What can be you do to capitalize on the time that you do get with Matt to make an impression? Like, clearly, you know, I mean, but Michelle and Matt's chemistry was just so undeniable. I loved it so much.
They were so
me too.
Cute.
I was my breath was taken away by her. She's so beautiful, but so like eloquent, and she stands up really tall and she gives them shit, and like, you know, when they when they were doing the zip line and she got there first, and Matt was like, oh, like she made, like she got here first. And she was like, yeah, you better make that a habit, by the way. Like, amazing, amazing work. I loved Michelle. She felt like a breath of fresh air. And the chemistry was just so like warm and inviting. And it was a really stark contrast to the rest of this episode.
Right. Yeah, no, I didn't find anything in my digging on the press site of photos, but we missed a lot on the Matt and Michelle date. So I'm mad about that we had to see all this like name calling, bullying, instead of seeing, I don't remember them being in the hot tub. There was some like giant box that they were opening. Looked like they had an ATV as well. So that is,
I would have taken 45 minutes of their date.
Yeah.
Over the Victoria drama.
Yeah, we could have cut all of the Victoria scenes and we would have had that.
But when they were like, had to answer the questions, like pop the balloons, and then they said on like, let's count to three and see, you know, how many kids we want. And they both said three at the same time. And
yes.
Like, wrap it up. All right.
Like, it was so electric and it felt very real to me that like that was a real, like this was a real date that they were having and it was fun. Yes.
Yeah.
And then the fact that it was just effortless, like on Michelle's part, like it was very evident that, you know, he was into her, but she wasn't trying so hard to just kind of like over impress. I was so impressed with that whole date. I just was like, can we fast forward, get rid of all of the mean girls and the immature women that are still left and get to the real genuine connections? And like you said, Haley, it just reminded me of Tayshia's season where everybody was so mature. And I just enjoyed that. Like, I enjoyed seeing the authentic relationships form.
Yeah, this was at least nice and such utter bullshit. And the bullshit continued after. There was a little less bullshit on the second date, I feel. And like, I get it. Like, when you're in a group of people and you want to gossip, like, I've been a gossip. Like, listen, I get it. But I appreciate
it's fun to vent, and like, I can see being upset that you didn't get the date or something.
Yeah. I can appreciate them being like, oh, like, sucks that these new girls are here to take up more time. And I think that's like a fair and valid feeling. Whereas I specifically hate these four women without knowing them because they came in when producers told them to, through no fault of their own. I could understand being frustrated at the situation. Absolutely. But there's no reason to take it out on these women. And I'm glad that Katie, I think she might have kind of learned a bit of a lesson last week when she didn't really stand up for Sarah in the immediate happenings of it all, but she did afterwards. And I think she was like, I'm not doing that again. I'm standing up and telling these girls like, hey, let's be easy on them. It's not easy for them. So, like, let's not get mad at these new girls. And the other girls were like, yeah, okay, yeah, we get it. Because I do think the more level-headed women were on this second date, so that's an easier message to get across, I think. And usually I don't recommend that people spend their time talking about other people on their alone time. But I think Katie was well within her rights to go to Matt and say, hey, people are spreading rumors about the other women, and I can say I can say it all day till I'm blue in the face, but it's going to be more coming from you. So I think you should say something. And we should get to a point where somebody being an escort and other people knowing about that is not a life ruining situation. Mm-hmm. I'm so tired of, you know, like the fallback that, oh, well, she's an escort. Like, that's an insult.
Right.
I'm tired. I'm so tired of it all.
Yeah, it's like once Matt hears about this drama, it's like, why don't you just send home Victoria and Anna? Like one full sweep. I'll be perfectly fine with that.
Do you think because he hasn't been on a Bachelor show before, like he doesn't realize that he can produce or he can push producers as far as he can? Do you know what I mean?
I don't know, because you think Tyler would have told him, you know, I mean, Tyler sees it from the, like, not as the suitor. And so he's not aware of, like, the power that Hannah B had that mm-hmm. season. I don't know. I would imagine he's still, you know, I guess Ben never pushed the limits. you know, when he had his right. little conversation with Ben, he's probably very nice with production.
They bring in to give him that, you know, most straight lace, like, follow, you know, exactly what they wanted to do. Said, I love them and let them on. So, but I think that could be a factor, like just thinking, okay, if they say that I need to keep Victoria around, I'm going to keep Victoria around. But even bringing in the five women, I think they added roses, right? I'm not good at math, but
I think we only lost three left. Women.
Right. I was really sad to see Kayla go. We lost Kayla, Kylie, and then the new Kimberly.
Can you not be with somebody whose name starts with a K?
That could be. Because I don't know. I really liked the connection with Kayla. So from that perspective, but I don't think that any of the new women coming in, I think that would have been who he eliminated either way. And, you know, he kept all four of the new, but only lost, you know, two other OGs. So still have a ton of women there. And it's, I don't know. Aren't we like halfway through now? And there's people that are brand new. So
your guess is as good as mine. They could be going until June when they have Bachelor in Paradise there.
Could be.
And would I be upset about it? Honestly, probably not. I've got nothing else going on. Like, what else are we watching on TV right now?
Married at First Sight.
Great point. Yeah.
The Challenge.
The Challenge, yeah.
Plenty of content there, yeah.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Well, we did see a news story coming around about a mysterious person that booked, a mysterious guest has booked 9 weeks of a resort in Haley in Canada, Jasper National Park, where The Bachelor has filmed before. I think that was Sean Lowe's season.
Yeah. I got like butterflies in my stomach thinking about that. So there's rumors that, The Bachelorette, the next season of The Bachelorette, will be filming at Jasper Park Lodge here in Canada. That sounds lovely to me personally. I think it's like a nice isolated area. There's a lot to do over there. What a thrill that would be.
Maybe we'll get more Canadian contestants.
Ooh.
I feel like that would be a natural fit.
Should I apply for The Bachelorette? Like to be one of the suitors of The Bachelorette?
Okay, great. Right. Are you open to a polyamorous relationship? I'm already married, but...
It's fine. We're fine. Like, my husband's still with it. He'll come with me.
He sent me here.
He'll help me pick.
Yeah, I feel like we're continuing to upgrade these, the settings. I think that would be gorgeous with a mountain backdrop. Embrace the fact that it's winter. Yeah, so that's exciting. I mean, it could be some other random person that just wants 9 weeks alone. But...
I mean, do you blame
you never
that?
Know.
Yeah, you never know.
Probably some poor mother with like five kids who like she's had to homeschool for the last like 7 months, 10 months. And she's like, I need exactly 9 weeks away.
You at a lovely spot. All the guests out of here. Yeah.
I'm just glad they're stepping it up for The Bachelorette because of what Tayshia got. I'm like, if you look at these one-on-one dates that Matt is getting compared to driving around in a paper taxi, I would be just like, oh my gosh, are you serious? But I mean, yeah. She was still able to find love in like this very real setting. Whereas Matt is still getting like the fantasy, beautiful backdrops, and hopefully reality doesn't hit them. Like whatever.
Yeah, you're telling me they couldn't have gotten a hot air balloon for Tayshia.
Like, right. Yeah. They could have done so much.
Emma Collins' own, you know, aircraft, but yeah, there's a big difference. We did have after the rose ceremony, we had that first group date. Was it the first one? Was the falling for love fest or something with Ben Higgins? Asia, how would you have reacted to having to kayak in a 1,000-pound pumpkin?
Hey, I love kayaking, so I thought that would have been a thrill. And I'm like super competitive, so like I would have been all for it. Like all of these dates that have competitions, which is pretty much every group date at this point, I would be all for it. But I thought that Maggie was so hilarious being stuck in the water. She was just the poor girl. Like if no one helped her, she would be there to this moment. She just was lost.
Yeah, I don't know if like she's done that a lot in her life. So.
Right.
Yeah. Probably not a lot of kayaking. I need more Maggie. We did get a little bit of her at the that end segment. So, Asia, you're a big fan of Matt, but what about his dance moves? No music.
I would be lying if I didn't tell you I've watched this like 10 times. And I was just like, Matt, sweetheart, the best you could do was a TikTok dance. And then I was just like, it was like, okay.
But you identified it because I had no idea.
Yes. I just had to. I said, okay, let me keep watching to figure out which TikTok dance this is, because I spend an insane amount of hours on TikTok. And I was like, okay, I get it. It was, I know exactly which song he's dancing to. And he had the moves on point, but I am so I'm shocked. That was the best he could come up with.
Yeah. I love Maggie for making him like, he's like, oh, should we dance together? And she's like, no, I want to see you. I need to evaluate for myself. And she's like, oh, great. Great. She's so sweet. Yeah, I thought this was cute for a competition date. They had to wear squirrel costumes, and it was pretty original to have to kayak in pumpkins. That, you know, they had to do, the team had to do some work to recruit those, you know, make it really fall, get the fall atmosphere. I'm sure there was some safety testing, I would hope. You know, no one.
Feels like there's more safety testing here than there was on the boxing date.
Right.
That's true. Yeah. Not much of a like incentive to win. They didn't really tell them what they were competing for, but we've noticed lately when they do these competition dates, they've stopped doing where you get extra time and they just give you something lame. So Mari won, and all she got was a statue of some acorns, aka some nuts. So the brass nuts.
It's like, ha ha ha, so funny, Chris Harrison.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about some of the women that we haven't seen a ton with, but we did see like little glimpses, like little small segments. So we did see a little bit with Chelsea, a little bit with Kit. Piper seems to be like kind of rising in the ranks as well with getting attention from Matt. Haley, anybody that you're really liking that you're hoping we see? Rachel's another one that got some time. And who was it that got the group date rose?
Chelsea.
Chelsea,
right? Chelsea was, I guess that was before the rose ceremony, right?
Yeah, she got the first group date rose that we didn't see the date portion.
I need more Chelsea. What a wonderful lady she is.
I was so happy for her, especially because like she told the story about her hair. And so she's just like, you know, it's very stressful, which as a Black woman with natural hair, I totally can. I feel her because it's tiring. It's a lot of work. And it takes a lot of thought and takes a lot of planning to get our hair, you know, decent looking, especially in a pandemic. Like I have to, if I go to one place every 2 weeks, I'm like thinking, okay, planning my hair like 2 weeks out, because I'm like, okay, if I wash it here, then I'll have to twist it and then I'll be able to take it out. So I really enjoyed her putting that on ABC primetime and then talking about the decision to shave it. And props to her. I don't think my facial features are as bold to just pop like that with a shaved head, but she works it. And I love that Matt loved it. He's so complimentary. He's like, every time you come into a room, it's a wow moment. Oh, he's just so sweet. So sweet.
I know. I am so impressed with him too. And the fact that it seems like with every conversation he has, it's like he remembers little details about people. I remember that last week with Serena P, he was like, well, you've told me this. I don't know how he does it. And then with Piper, he's like, okay, we've talked about your family. I don't know if he's like keeping a journal or if that's just like a natural.
But if he does, that's a great idea. Like, keep notes on all of these women. Like, I think it works.
The effort. Yeah. You would think, instead of just thinking, oh, this is awesome, I'm going to date all these women. He's like really putting in the work for somebody who hasn't been on the other side of it. Like he is such a good bachelor to me. I'm sorry. He is. I could go on for days, but.
Dude, go on for days, because I feel like I've seen too many things of things saying like, oh, Matt's a sucky bachelorette, bachelor. But I don't feel that way at all.
Yeah, he carries it so well. Like, he makes each relationship feel unique and genuine. Like, even Victoria has it in her head that she has a special thing going on with him. So it's like, if he can make her feel that way, like, imagine how Michelle feels or how, you know, Bree feels. Like, he is really so intentional and remembers these conversations. He's not just daydreaming, he's in it, which I love. The only thing that would make him better is if he was rocking the beard that he's currently rocking right now. Oh my goodness, a man. He is a man.
Yeah, and I love that he's doing that. Like, he's not like trying to keep up the same look for consistency or anything. Like, maybe the Bachelor might want him to. I think it's smart for a little anonymity too.
Yes.
It doesn't look the same, but he still looks good.
Yes.
He had a little one-on-one time with Kit, I noticed. I'm really liking Piper too. Mm-hmm. We did get a question on Twitter about Rachel, because we haven't seen a ton with her. Let me see if I can pull it up here. This is from Matt Schmaltzer. Can either of you explain Rachel to me? It seems like she's a front runner, but I barely feel like I know anything about her.
She has a really nice face.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Her face is aesthetically pleasing.
Symmetrical. Yeah.
I will also say I love looking at Piper. I just think she's so pretty and like almost elfish. And like she had a top knot this week. And I was really worried she was going to go home just because I think she's so pretty. Like, I just like her because she's pretty.
Yeah, my roommate is a very casual Bachelor watcher. Like, she'll watch it if she's in the living room and I happen to have it on. But she saw Piper like after her Matt kissed and she's like, oh my gosh, her eyeshadow is wonderful. It's like, yes, she's beautiful.
Yeah. I like that Matt is like pulling, it seems like he picks up on too, like, was it the conversation with Rachel where it was like, okay, what can I do to like help you know that I want you to be here? And then he carries that over to Piper, like, hey, I want you. Like, he senses that some of the women are feeling a little insecure or that, you know, he has to let kind of the women know that he hasn't had the one-on-one dates with yet, who he feels more strongly with. And I don't think a lot of bachelors do that. And you know, maybe it's to the detriment of like, we're not getting as many tears, but once he does that, they feel so much better. And I feel like that's a normal thing to do in relationships, like keep people aware of how you're feeling.
Right. Like with Rachel, they had that early connection. And I think that's kind of what they've been holding on to, which is why it may feel like she's their front runner, because Matt has been so good about like nurturing those relationships that he has developed, which is what he was trying to do with Sarah, but she was just on her own thing. So he's just like, okay, I'll have to let that one go. But Rachel, he's just continuing to nurture it until they can have like a one-on-one date or like some genuine time on a group date.
Hmm. So speaking of group dates, the second group date was the fighting date. We have Wells coming in. Didn't seem like he had a lot to do, but it was cut short. We also had, I don't think I have her. Mia St. John, a former boxing world champion. So they're bringing a little more guest people in. I would have hated to do this, but Asia, you said you're competitive. Would you have minded this? Right.
Yeah, like I've taken like 3 boxing classes, so I wouldn't have been confident in my abilities inside the gloves. But, you know, I'm definitely one of those people that's like, okay, I'm going to take on any type of challenge just to see, to just have a go at it. But poor girls who don't like physical activity like that, like this was not the date. When I saw that the date card was saying, like, are you ready to fight for love? Like, they already knew what was happening. They knew they were going to be fighting. They're like, no one wanted to do it. How was that fun?
Right. And was it Matt that called it off, or did it just make it seem like that?
Yeah, it seemed like Matt cut it off.
Yeah. So he does take some, you know, like he'll step up and go against the producers if need be, but it was, Serena P that got a rough yeah. punch there. And so I don't know. I think there were a couple of people that didn't end up fighting. And then they had their famous live audience, just the other women. Haley, would you have rather done boxing or the erotica of last week?
I would rather get on stage nude and talk about intercourse for 3.5 hours and then bungee jump than do this boxing date. I do not like to be hit in the face. I have broken my nose multiple times, and I'm not looking to recreate that sensation. And I'm very soft, very delicate, both externally and internally. So if I had to get punched, I would immediately cry. Just like immediately. I'd get in the ring. And start. Yeah, like there's, they would look at me and I'd be like, don't do it, please. Like I would fake an injury. I would close my arm in a door and break it. I would be like, ooh, sir. I would do what I do in real life, which is say, ooh, sorry, I just got knee surgery. You don't know, it was like 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah, the Tayshia move, right?
Like, I got a bad knee. I can't. That's how I got out of doing beach volleyball for like 2 years. Like, sorry, I got a bad knee. I can't do that. No. Yeah, no, I am not doing that. I'm not doing it. I'm also not competitive. So, like, this is just not for me emotionally.
See, I would so much prefer to do this over that erotica. Like, oh my gosh, I was cringing. I couldn't even get through it. Like, I was just like, oh my God. I was just, my skin was crawling. I was just so uncomfortable. So I would much prefer to do this.
Yeah, you know, now I'm thinking about it. These women that came late, they didn't have to go on that erotica date. None of them were invited on the boxing date, which I was shocked about. Like, what were the producers? I'm glad, but yeah, because the producers probably knew there would be blood all over the floor the way these women were reacting to them. I'm sure originally they were like, oh, this will be perfect. We'll put them on the date. So at least they had some, you know, awareness there. But yeah, maybe it's better to come in late. You make an impression. But yeah, dealing with these other women, namely, Anna and Victoria were the main bullies. It seemed like they tried to pass off other women, like Chelsea, like sneering about something, but I don't buy that editing. It seemed like it was a little bit like choppy, her reaction to something, like laughing off something that Katie said about, we should try to like be classier about this. And then they like showed a clip of different women reacting, but it seemed like these were just the two main offenders, and we even see them, Anna and Victoria, kind of on their own. It didn't look like they even maybe were aware they were being filmed. It looked like maybe an overhead camera catching their conversation, but you know, the cameras are everywhere, just like on Bachelor in Paradise. They're not in your private space. So I don't know. I don't really like want to repeat all the things they were saying, but is there anything else we want to say about like how they were handling this?
I mean, like, I'm personally emotionally done. Like, I think I'm like a little sleepy now because I think I exhausted myself with the yelling. But Asia, please, like, the podcast is yours, my friend.
Yeah, it was just like, Anna and Victoria bonding over their hatred for the new girls was just, it was gross. And then just the mob mentality is just, I mean, that's how Katie described it. It was just like, why? Why are we doing this? Aren't y'all trying to find a husband? Y'all aren't trying to, this isn't right. X on the Beach where you're looking for a boyfriend. You know, like, you are looking for a husband, which involve, well, it should involve a lifelong commitment. It's just insane the how immature some of these women are. And it's like, do you realize this is like being televised, like ABC?
Right. Time?
Like millions of people are going to see you act like this. You don't care at all.
Yeah, and you don't think it's going to get back to Matt? Like, you think this is right. a good look in any way? Like, and at first it made it seem like it was just Anna telling Victoria. I was like, oh, she's strategically, this is horrible, but she's strategically like going to Victoria because she knows Victoria's going to go and tell everybody, because it sounded like everybody knew except for Matt all these rumors. And I wonder, like, what if Katie hadn't stepped up? I mean, do you think the producers should have done something?
Amy, these producers are just pouring kerosene on this environment and throwing a match in there and calling it a day.
Yeah.
Have y'all ever watched the show Unreal?
Yes.
We watched an episode, I think.
Okay.
Did we cover it on a podcast?
Maybe? Yeah, we did way back when we like talked about the premiere, but I did eventually watch the whole thing.
I did not, because I don't do well with scripted dramas.
But it's like, yeah, it, even though like, okay, it got a little out of hand the longer the show went on, but the very initial episodes really does show you like they're there to fuel that drama. Like they're the reason that it gets going. And, you know, I took everything that happened on that show with a grain of salt, but still it was like, okay, I know that they're like casting, or like not casting producers, but they're producers on the show who are trying to like, okay, why don't you go ask Matt about this? Or why don't you go confront Victoria about this, talk to her? And they're drinking and, you know, it's being egged on for sure. So I wonder,
like, they're buddy and like,
yeah, exactly.
I've heard this about this person. Like they're even like, from what I've heard from just podcasts too, like saying, well, I heard there's a rumor going around with some of the other girls that so-and-so, you know, so even if the rumor didn't get to somebody else. So I really like that Katie goes and she interrupts, you know, Matt is like having a conversation with producers. It's not even in her like normal time with him. She's probably was told that she's not supposed to go over there, and she was, you know, stepping up. So yeah, Katie's one of the, like, we haven't really seen a character like her before.
I feel like Katie is bachelor savvy, which I feel like we don't often get on the show. I feel like she's seen a lot of episodes, but not in a way where she's like, this show is everything. It's more like, okay, I get what they're doing here. And she's not there for Instagram followers. I think she's genuinely interested in that. And she's one of those people who's kind of like down for an adventure.
Yeah, she's not going to compromise her own, you know, morals or integrity to, you know, continue on with what the producers want to happen on the show.
Right. And Victoria tried to shame her for, she's like, how are you the one that brings a vibrator
and you think you're ready for marriage?
I'm sorry, Victoria. The use of vibrators does not end when the wedding ring goes on. Like, that's not how that works.
Yeah.
Should be like more out, you would think, maybe.
You would think so.
I don't know.
She wouldn't know because she is not looking for marriage.
No, she is not. I mean, you could be I love Katie's response, like, I take my own sexual pleasure pretty seriously. Like, thank you very much for noticing. And Matt loved it. So who gives a shit what Victoria thinks, right? Like Matt brought it up again, did he not? Yeah. He was like, that was hilarious. I love it. Can't wait to like hang out together.
Yeah. So on that note, that was kind of where the to be continued showed up, was Katie going to talk to him. She has her talks to Matt, and just he was really appreciative. She didn't even mention exactly what was being said, but just that, you know, I think you are the one that you know, if you do this. So it's really like an advisor role to him, basically. So we will find out next episode how he handles it, when he handles it. I'm assuming it's the cocktail party because that's kind of what's coming up next. This was the end of the second group date. So we'll find that out. Probably continue on this path of having like a rose ceremony kind of earlier on in the show and having all these to be continued for the rest of the season. Not our favorite, but that's how they like to do it. So with that, we have some audience questions that we can get into. And we have a couple emails. You can email us at bachelorwrapup@gmail.com.
But before you do that, why don't you head on over to robhasawebsite.com/batchcast and leave your 5-star review for the podcast. Please do not leave 1-3-star reviews because, like I said, I'm soft and I can't handle it. If you want to criticize me.
And we
want to
get more fantastic co-hosts with us joining us. Yeah. So if they see poor reviews, they're not going to come on with us.
No. And like, listen. Right. If you want to criticize me, do so in the comfort of your own home, not to me. Been doing this for a long time, and your criticisms of me and or my voice are not unique, and I will not accept them. I'm trying my best to say not say like as much, or have a vocal fry. But you know what? Sometimes it just happens, so please leave me be. Thank you very much. And if your criticism to any woman podcasting is their vocal fry or anything to do with their voice or any crutch words, write it down on a piece of paper so you get the emotion out, because you have the right to your feelings, like Victoria says. And then just
and then just realize you're wrong.
Just throw it away.
Like Claire's dress.
Yeah. Just get it off your chest in a forum that doesn't include saying it to the person.
Yeah. This is from Caitlin from Auburn. She says, "Hi guys, I have two questions. First, was Michelle trying to pass off that Maya Angelou quote as her own? She delivered it in such a natural way with her own filler words thrown in, and then seemed caught off guard when Matt said he knew the quote. Either way, I don't even care because Matt and Michelle's connection is magical and it almost feels like game over to me. I love them together." Okay, we didn't talk about this. So they had a really great conversation. They were in like this classic car garage. So Nima Collin has a bunch of different settings that, you know, we would have seen when they're at Bouncer Mansion. They go have dates like this. So it really is like, I do feel like kind of that escapism. I'm not really noticing that we're stuck in one place here, but they had a great conversation. She talked about being from the Minneapolis area, and she's a teacher, and dealing with George Floyd and her students, trying to like help them through that during the pandemic when she wasn't in class with them. So I thought that was a really interesting perspective to, and Matt was really connecting with her on that. And then the quote was, I don't know the exact wording, but it's people remember, don't remember what you say, but they remember how you make them feel. So yeah. Asia, do you think she was trying to pass it off as like her own like Instagram quote or?
Right. I think, yeah. Cause you know, I think a lot of people know that quote, but don't know that it was Maya Angelou. So it's like, you know, either she wasn't aware and she's kind of just heard it throughout, you know, her lifetime, or she knew and she was surprised, like, and she's thinking like, oh my gosh, he knows Maya Angelou and he may just know the quote. Right. But I thought it was funny how she was caught off guard because, you know, I think that's a like a common quote that people know. Like as she said it, I was like, yep, they remember how you make them feel. So we could have had a connection in that moment as well.
Yeah. I loved like the look in his eyes. He just like was like, oh, Maya Angelou. And then like could not hold back a smile.
Yeah.
And then she was just like, oh, okay. All right. This guy knows, like this guy has read a poem before.
Right.
Yeah. But I think it was like a moment of, I don't know. I didn't take it as like she was trying to pass it off, but maybe like it's a quote of hers that she likes a lot. Maybe she doesn't know who said it. I bet she does, but just like she didn't like the filler words is more like you're trying to remember exactly how you say it. But I just thought it was cute that they both, that's another thing they connected on, just seeing how they had all these like little connections.
They're made for each other.
And did you see his Instagram post? This kind of caused a little controversy because it he posted like her arrival, the press photo, and it said like better late than never with a red heart. This is before the episode, and so people are like, spoiler alert.
What?
Some people didn't know there were even new women coming. So is he trying to throw us off? Is he just like throwing caution to the wind? Does he not know? Or is he being encouraged to like post these different things? I mean, he's posted other women in his pictures too, but not to like that like extent. I feel like he's
right. Like that was different.
I know. And then I was like keeping my eye out for her when she came out of the limo.
Yeah. So,
it's not like it's a slideshow of all five of the women. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. That was interesting. And then the second question from Caitlin from Auburn is, second, I can't remember if you guys have discussed this yet, but do you think Katie could be a contender for Bachelorette? She reminds me a bit of Caitlin Bristow in that she's so comfortable and confident, especially as it relates to her sexuality, but the show seems to be propping Katie up, whereas it condemned Caitlin. Did Caitlin walk so Katie could run? Thanks, Caitlin from Auburn.
Yeah, I think as far as we have to go still when it comes to talking about women's sexuality as it relates to The Bachelor, but we've come leaps and bounds in just a few years. Mm-hmm. I would love to see Katie as the Bachelorette. I think that'd be great. I think there's a lot of great women on this season that could be in contention too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who are we going to see in Jasper National Park?
Right,
I envision like
it should definitely be someone from the season. You know, like I don't think they should take. Oh, you know, we have a couple of prospects here, but let's think back to Peter's season. No,
I will never think about Peter's season again. Thank you very much.
Like, no, you have a solid crop right here. There's so many contenders. He doesn't pick them all. So, you know, some of them are still single. Yes, I would be down for Katie as the Bachelorette. I think that probably will be decided based on how far she makes it, which, you know, depending on how Matt receives this news from her and how he, you know, I hope he doesn't think it like, oh, she's causing drama by bringing it to me.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it. Was Hannah, besides Juan Pablo, was very far back. That didn't go well. So
that I realized that was my first Bachelor season I watched. I know.
Oh, that's crazy. And then to come for full circle with Claire's season then and now.
Right.
I think she'd have to get at least like sixth place or more. So
yeah,
I could see her doing. It doesn't seem like she's going anywhere. But I also think they would want her for Bachelor in Paradise. I think they already know what scene they're going to have for her intro. I think they need someone to sort of like quell the drama and speak some reason to people. So, this is from Andrea. Haley and Amy, do you think the new girls were brought in as a sort of punishment for the horrible house behavior towards Sarah, or was it always planned? Also, is the term OG girls the most annoying thing you've ever heard on the show? I wish the editors would bleep it out like a cuss word anytime someone says it. Love the podcast as always. Thanks, Andrea.
I do believe this was always planned, but that's hilarious that it could be punishment. I've been watching the show too long for OG girls to be the most annoying thing on the show. I feel like there's 45 more annoying things that they are currently saying. I believe I'm here for the right reasons. Like that will be on my gravestone. Not because I choose it.
It's just heart.
Yeah.
Especially with Chris Harris and keep trying to say it. But yeah, they did say it a lot. It was like, I'm glad it's only OG girls on this date. So, you know, it's okay. Like, I don't really want to punch them, but
yeah,
somebody else, I would like try to murder them. Yeah. Or it's all OG girls and Michelle here back at the house. So it's really uncomfortable. Right. Like, what is Michelle doing to make you uncomfortable? Like just being amazing.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't hear the OG boys during Daisha season.
Claire's boys.
Right.
Yeah, like they got over it like after that cocktail party.
Yeah. Right.
This is from George. Hi, ladies. Did you notice Matt say the date activity Chris Harrison set up for him and Michelle was an intense scavenger hunt? They then proceeded to go down a zip line, pop balloons with questions, and ride a hot air balloon. That was not a scavenger hunt.
You're right. LOL. I forgot it was a scavenger hunt.
Yeah. What did they find? Right. I don't know. It was a lot better than the one. Yeah.
Right.
A lot better than the one with Ben and Tayshia. Again, they've upgraded a little bit, but it does look like, as I found on the press site, there was a few other things we didn't see. And they just totally forgot about the scavenger hunt portion. For the boxing group date, why do you think production didn't have any matchups between any of the rivals in the house? I can't imagine that they were concerned about it getting too violent. If anything, I think they would lead into that. So which matchups do you think would have been the most intriguing, and who would you like most like to see punch Victoria in the nose?
I don't want to see anyone get punched. It makes me upset and sad.
Yeah, but it's like, knowing these producers, I'm so shocked they didn't have Katie versus Victoria.
I feel like it would have gotten really violent. I feel like absolutely hold back.
Yeah. And then he says the MJ versus Chelsea wasn't shown. Do you think they just didn't show it, or was theirs the one that got canceled? I think they really canceled it, right?
Yeah, they got canceled. Okay, because after Serena P got hurt, they probably were next after that.
Yeah. And then he wants to know, Haley, between you and me, who would win? We would both back out of it, right?
Yeah, we would be like, we're not doing this. Let's go for dinner.
Yeah. Final question. I've noticed when Matt is talking one-on-one with the women, he often will ask them, what do you need from me? I think he means it as a way of letting them know he cares about them. But each time it seems to catch the woman off guard and ends up feeling awkward. What's your take on his question? Thanks for all the laughs you provide me. I give you 5 stars. All right. Thank you, George. Thank you for doing our draft.
I think maybe women aren't used to hearing that expression or like that sentiment from their partners. And I think it's a wonderful question. And nice. I think both partners in any relationship should be asking that question and asking it repeatedly and actually following through on what their partner says. I think that's, I love that. I think it's a great idea.
I'm like taking notes. I'm like, wait, that is a really good question.
Amy, what do you need from me? Like, I feel like we've been together longer than I've been with my husband. Like, what do you need from me? Like, this is a longer, stronger relationship.
Right. And I don't know. Like, yeah, I'm caught off guard. No, I think it's really great because he gets to know like how it's not just like, I think they're caught off guard because it's like, they don't want to look needy on the show, but some of them really pick up and have a good answer, I think. Like Abigail gave him that little signal. I don't know if it was right after that question, but I think he's finding out what makes each of them tick, how kind of their love language, and what would show them that, you know, he's still interested in them. Like some of them, it might be, you know, just telling it to them. Some of them might be like winking at
them. Give them a hug. Like,
yeah, give them a hug or like
give them an orchid and then send them home immediately.
Exactly.
That's what I love about Matt as the bachelor is just that he's making this a mutual pursuit, which you don't see that a lot, which is why I think the women get so caught off guard because they're thinking, oh, we're all vying for Matt's attention. Like, I need to be giving my all on these dates, where Matt is like, hey, I want to get to know you as well as you getting to know me. I want us to meet each other's needs and not just you trying to meet my needs the best out of everyone. And I think that's, to bring it back to Michelle, I think that's one of the things that he caught with Michelle is that she came in there and when one of her first conversations with him on that during the cocktail party, she was like, I want someone who will change the world with me. And he's like, yes, I could. We could do that. It wasn't just like, oh, what are you looking for, Matt? And so I think that confidence and that like, here's what I'm looking for is what caught his attention. And so I love that he's doing that with all of the women, is asking them, what do they need from him? Because this is not a one-sided relationship. And Matt understands that.
Right. Really great. Josh Creek, after seeing that Matt dance, do you think Maggie wishes she was still stuck in the lake?
I'm not going to say no. I feel like we get the most of Matt's personalities in these little end clips, and I wish we got more of like fun Matt.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that Matt didn't like dive into the pond and go rescue Maggie. It seemed like, you know, that would be a move that he would do. Or, you know, come on, Ben Higgins, like, where's the hero complex? Let's go. I wanted to see like how she eventually got over there. Like, did the producers have to like send a lasso over to her, or did she eventually figure it out?
Right.
Oh, this is a question that I just thought of. Who do we think is set up for a 2-on-1 date? Because I have to hope that Anna and Victoria are leaving next week before we have that opportunity. But so what kind of new rivalry are they trying to set up? Or is it a misdirect and we're still going to be stuck with Victoria around?
I need peace.
Mm-hmm.
Really,
but
yeah. But okay, they could very well send home Victoria. Like, they get Matt could send home Victoria, and then we'll see like a Anna and Brittany 2-on-1.
Oh, I could see that.
Amy, I just heard.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Disappointed realization in your voice.
Right. That Anna is going to like somehow find a way to stay. She'll break down in tears. Yeah. Oh, it's just awful. I miss when they would do like the 2-on-1 dates where it was sort of like there were actual stakes. I mean, Kendall was on a 2-on-1 date and she was final three. So like where you really wondered like who might make it through instead of just having like two contestants that, I don't know, aren't really like vying for the end, you know, but just have the drama. All right, Will Harrington, moving on. What group of contestants is worse, Peter's or Matt's? These past few Bachelor seasons have been so hard to watch because the shining lights are so far in between. Matt's feels top heavy with some very likable women, Katie, Chelsea, Michelle, Bree, Abigail, but the mean girls are so much meaner than Peter's, whereas I can't think of anyone I truly liked from Peter's season. Interesting, because we've been saying we really like, for the most part, Matt's, you know, there's a lot of great women to choose from, but yeah, we didn't see like this extent of bullying on Peter's season.
Yeah, Asia, I'd like to hear what you think. Like, what yeah. group of women do you like better?
I would say they're it's so hard because obviously both group of women were immature, but there are more women on Matt's season that I prefer over the women on Peter's season. So it's not that the women on Peter's season were worse or they were bigger mean girls or anything like that. They're just like these stars on Matt's season that makes it worth watching. Whereas it was, oh my gosh, it was so hard to get through Peter's season.
And we did not get a bachelorette from Peter's season. I think that kind of tells us, whereas we're clamoring for like, there's many women from this season that we could see being the lead. And we didn't want anybody. And even the producers didn't go that route from Peter's season. So I think that's maybe where it lies, that they have some terrible behavior from a few women here. But I'm hoping that they'll get weeded out soon.
Please.
Should have been more recently, but hopefully next week. Patrick Hagen. So do you think production panicked when they realized how horrible some of these people are that they brought in these newbies just in case? Okay, another theory here that maybe they were backups. I just can't imagine they would hold out on someone like Michelle. Like,
yeah, I really feel like they saw how the drama kind of increased when they brought those four new guys in for Tayshia, and like it made sense for Tayshia, so I totally am behind them doing that. I understand why they did it. I think they saw the drama and saw how much it worked, so they that was the plan from the beginning for this.
And I've heard people say or theorize that also because they're not traveling, they need some more like kind of excitement from other ways. And, you know, sometimes with the travel season, somebody like an ex-boyfriend will show up or something, and we can't have random people showing up. So they had to create the random people showing up, and it took more contestants. So I can see that they think like, well, we have to like add a little more excitement here from, because we're not that I don't, it's a totally different kind of thing than traveling. Like, I don't think the traveling itself is like dramatic, but just that they had to have some change of scenery or, you know, like change of structure.
Yeah.
Let's see, Damian Roberts. What are the odds Michelle ends up doing better than the guys who came in halfway in Tayshia's season?
Who did the best of those guys?
Well, it's Spencer, right?
No, Noah. Noah made it to final six.
Oh yeah, Noah. Noah. Wow. Yeah.
I could see Michelle making final four.
Mm-hmm.
Who are we looking at as final four right now?
Because the guys on Tayshia's season, none of them got one-on-ones, right? Mm-hmm. So, final four.
I think, well, Piper is up there. Seems like he really likes Bree.
Mm-hmm.
Abigail.
I think Abigail's still up there. I just keep waiting for her to get that one-on-one because it feels like
right. You
should have had it by now by getting the first impression rose. I'm trying to think who else.
If he keeps the connection, like we were talking earlier, if he keeps the connection going with Rachel, like maybe she gets a one-on-one date
and
things continue to blossom.
Because we're going to switch soon to, I think, where it'll be one group date, two one-on-ones. I feel like we're low on the one-on-ones and that's really where we can kind of determine who has the most chemistry. Because now I'm like, Michelle is like my favorite for him right now.
Oh, absolutely.
Serena P, like she's kind of a sleeper. Like I really liked their connection as well, but
yeah,
yes.
Their date was just not that exciting. It was just donkeys, so I keep forgetting about her.
During his one-on-one with Michelle, Serena P was like, they were all watching with their conveniently placed binoculars, and she's like, imagine first kiss in a hot air balloon.
Yeah, see, this is the kind of like what I want to see from the other women. Like she's laughing about it. She's like obviously annoyed, but in a like a lighthearted way. Like, and they're all like, shut up. She's like, I know, but imagine.
Yeah.
She had the one-on-one and she's still like, wait a minute. This is a little Ava Pickett, where did Anna get the idea that Brittany is an escort if they both said they've never met? She said someone warned her about Brittany, but how would they have known they're going to be on the show to warn her? It seems too far-fetched to not be a seed planted by producers or for them not to have known each other beforehand, which it really doesn't seem like they did. Brittany didn't act like she had any idea who Anna was when she confronted her about it. Maybe this is just another thing I'm looking into too much, but it really doesn't seem likely that Anna knew this about Brittany before the show started. I'm calling producers shenanigans. They wanted to make some drama and saw an opportunity with two girls from Chicago. Yeah, who is warning her? Why is
I don't know. Like, I feel like we had that rando or Peter's ex-girlfriend come in and like warn him about Victoria F. Like, I feel like anything's possible.
Probably the more similar situation where it's like, I have to warn you about this. And, you know, the rumor with her was that she caused breakups of other relationships.
Of marriages, not just relationships. Yeah. The most holy of all unions, marriage.
So yeah, they can't have some random person showing up at an amusement park to tell Peter, to tell Matt. So Ben Higgins didn't come in with any intel for him. So I don't know. Do you think they would go this route, or when did this cast get announced and when did they lose their phones? Like, I feel like they've been a little more like lax about that kind of thing lately. People know about the cast earlier on. And there was like a bigger cast list way back when of just like names.
Mm-hmm.
I think there was like spoiler casts out there. And I think there were, because I remember listening to like a preview cast. Maybe it was Becca Martinez's podcast, but she was like, we were looking at like a Cosmo list or a Glamour magazine list. And there were like women on that list that weren't in the cast released by ABC. And I think it's those same five. And that kind of happened with the guys on Tayshia's season and originally Claire's season. There was this longer list of just like names and photos. And then those guys weren't there. And then some of them were on later with they came in for Tayshia. So I think they had that bigger cast and they just weren't there night one. And maybe they're there as extras originally because it's like, okay, some people might be tested positive for COVID or something. And
right. Then
they're all like good to go. And you'd be like, hey, make a bigger cast, have them show up late.
Maybe so. They had like 10 backups. And then once the season started going, they said, okay, we'll pick these five to come in and drop them in. And like, we know we want the queen to come. Yeah.
Poor Catalina. Like, she seemed like, for a pageant girl, like, she seemed like really chill about it. Like, the fact that she didn't just scream at Victoria for messing up her hair, grabbing the crown off her.
I mean, I feel like that's some pageant girl training. You just like stand there with a smile on your face no matter what.
Yeah. I was impressed.
Good on her.
Oh, she's the worst.
Yeah. All right. So that is it for questions. Haley, did you get any takes from Doug for this episode? And while you're looking for that, I will pull up our draft results.
Yeah, just a few. Doug, like us, was not really thrilled with this episode. He's just not feeling, you know, the negativity from all the women, and it's just not chill. He says, so buying misinformation, scapegoating, belittling others, should Victoria actually consider running for political office instead of competing on a dating show?
Please no.
I also just saw like a clip while we were podcasting that Victoria was on like a $1 million listing show looking at a property for $11 million. So who knows if that's like an actual thing she can budget for or not. I don't know. I'm not looking into it any further. What was more ridiculous, attempt to connect with Matt? Anna pointing out that they both enjoyed being outside, or Kit robotically saying she and Matt look good together? I'd just like to add in, one of the most surprising moments of the episode was when Matt was like, hey Kit, like, I really like you, like, we're really vibing, this is great for me. I'm like, what are we talking about here?
Kit was like a whole nother person here.
Who is Kit?
Yeah,
is she Steve? Wait, does this resort have a golf course, a ski hill, a runway, and a car museum? Forget Matt James. These women should be vying for the heart of Mr. and Mrs. Nima Colin.
It has everything. It's its own colony.
Imagine going on a show to find love where you are forced to fight one another, accused of being an escort, encouraged to bully one another, and subjected to a boxing gate that featured commentary from a Nashville DJ instead of anyone who knows anything about boxing. Have the producers ever been bigger ducks than they are being right now? I think he meant not ducks, but I think ducks works better here. Oh, and is Maggie still floating around in that pumpkin?
Absolutely.
If she is, we will save her. Actually, you guys have to save her. I can, if I leave the country, I'll have to quarantine for 2 weeks, and I'm not... You know what, actually that sounds nice, but I'm not gonna do it.
Yeah, Haley, I was just thinking you should apply maybe to be staff at the resort.
Oh yeah,
out in Jasper.
I wish I hated that idea more.
They need someone to serve wine, you know.
As far as I know, let me look. The Jasper Park Lodge, I do believe, is owned by the Delta, maybe? I don't know. Jasper Park Lodge, maybe not. Let's look. Jasper Park. It's a Fairmont property. How lovely. They're pretty exclusive. Oh, they have a hot spring. Oh, I'm so jealous right now.
Oh my gosh. We can plan all the dates right now. There's going to be a polar plunge. They did that on Sean's season.
I haven't been to the Jasper Park Lodge, but I've taken a walk through the Banff Springs Lodge, and that is a lovely little location there. What else they got going on here at JPL? Also, it will be hard for me personally to have a whole season talking about Jasper when it's not about my cat.
Yeah. I mean, that's your connection. That's your in.
Should I bring my cat?
I think so. You could be like one of those, like the people they meet on the date that suddenly like gives advice. Or you pull one of the, you pull the lead aside and let her know, like, I saw this guy flirting with so-and-so.
How fun would I be as like the advisor?
That'd be so great. Or you and Ethan could be the wise married couple.
Married couple.
Yeah. Here's my advice to you.
Now do it. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we do have draft results. And you know what? Asia, our team, Mari is in the draft with us. Mm-hmm. She is doing way better than us. She has Bree, Serena P. She has, she has Anna. That's not good. But she has 95 points. She lost Kayla. Haley and I are in the 50s. Haley, you have 56 points. Mm,
whoa.
53. Yeah. So she's like already won it, basically. but we had a few people left over in our draft, Imani and Sydney. They both got eliminated. But then we said our listeners would be the team if there were any newcomers. So now their team is like
stacked. Right. Stacked.
So they are up there with 19 points, just, you know, out of nowhere. I'm meant to take third or second place from us. So that's where we're at. Follow at JoyCT.
That's not fair. I think the OG draft pickers should have more points.
Are we going to be, we're the OG drafters and our listeners, like we'll have a war with our listeners. That doesn't seem smart, but yeah, if it gets too competitive here, who knows? So, all right. Well, Asia, anything more you would like to say about this episode that we didn't cover or the season overall? It's great having you. So I want to get all your thoughts.
Yeah, so glad to be on. I did end up finding a US Weekly article about the new five girls coming. So they interviewed an ABC executive, Robert Mills. And so there was a quote from him. He said, "We got a record number of submissions. We couldn't fit everyone in night one. And we had some really interesting girls. These were women that we had already met with. It was decided pretty much before filming began that they would join later. It was good to throw them in the mix. It wasn't just to shake things up."
Okay, sure. Yeah, I believe that.
It's weird how they keep trying to frame it like, well, we had so many submissions. It's like,
but then do what they do on Drag Race and have like a two-night premiere where we meet like half the cast one night and we meet half the cast the other night, and then it's broken up nicely, and then say a half of each cast gets to go in. Like, I don't know, I just feel like there's other ways around it that's more sensible than this.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, that doesn't really add up, but I think he's good at like framing it a certain way.
Right.
As a producer would. And then one of our listeners had messaged us about Kim being on, because I guess she has like a little bit of a following on Instagram. It's Kim Away With Me. And they knew her from like being somebody, like a girlfriend of like a YouTuber that they watched, like an ex now, but they had found out that she was going to be on the season. And so I guess she would have been fun, but we didn't get much of her. So.
Yeah, we didn't hear her even say a few words.
No.
In terms of everything else, I think that was pretty much it. I feel like we covered it all. I'm really loving the season. I'm really excited for Matt. I just really hope that he finds the love of his life. I am rooting for him. I want the best for him. And so, I'm just enjoying watching his journey, as he continues to say. Like, I understand they all have to call this a journey, but he's really calling it a journey.
Yeah. Yeah, that was his toast. Like, let's welcome these new women who are coming on the journey with me. He was really good about, like, at least welcoming them in. So, he wasn't going to play into it too much. So that was good. And I would have loved to see him pull one of the new women away right away if Victoria hadn't jumped in there. Yeah. So she was not going to let that happen. Asia, where can people keep up with you?
Yeah, you can definitely follow me on Twitter. It's Asia Like Asia. So A-Y-S-H-A like A-S-I-A. And I just tweet about all the different shows I'm watching. So yeah, just throw me a follow.
Nice. And Haley?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @hstrong_. Also, Matt Lagori got mad at me last week for forgetting to plug my appearance on the Challenge Dom and Colin podcast last week. So I did that. So check that out if you watch the challenge. But then also check out the reality TV wrap up version of the Challenge podcast too. You know, it's the best thing about podcasts. You can listen to more than one about your favorite show. What else am I doing? Absolutely effing nothing. We started watching Superstore the other night. Ugh, what a lovely show this is.
Oh, so you're just starting watching it from
just
the beginning?
Starting watching it, yeah, because we need joy.
Right when it got canceled, right? I think
isn't that usually how I roll?
Yeah, I suppose. But yeah, at least you know there's a set number of episodes to be there to comfort you, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then I can... Or you know what I'll probably do, which is what I do with every single show I like, which is watch it up until the last season and then not watch the last season because I can't let the characters go, which is exactly what I've done with Schitt's Creek. The last season of that's been out for over a year now. Guess who still hasn't watched it? This gal.
Don't want it to end.
I don't want it to end.
Self-care.
Yeah, exactly.
Isha, what I did when I needed something extra to watch, I watched Married at First Sight UK season 5.
Oh.
There were only like 4 episodes. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm actually going there. I can't wait for the next episode of the US version. But it was really strange because it was only 2 couples. And so I was like, why is this season so short? And I guess it was like during, it was kind of like the New Orleans season where they were filming and then COVID happened. And so 2 of the couples that they had planned for didn't even have their weddings.
Whoa.
And so I looked into it and they eventually let those couples just sort of meet on their own. And I think they're still together, but not married. So really random.
Best possible outcome, it sounds like.
Right. You don't have to be TV. You don't have all their business out there. So
that's kind of like Love is Blind on Netflix, where they didn't follow all of the couples that got together. So some of them ended up together and didn't have to get married.
Right. So weird. Yeah. But they didn't even have like a coronavirus to blame for that. They're just like, oh, we didn't think this crazy experiment was going to work.
Yeah. I really want to try Married at First Sight Australia. My mom watches that one and she said it is so much drama. Or they like, have you ever seen it?
Different. I've seen a few of them because they started airing them on Lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I guess they're not even real weddings or something. But it's so many couples. That's the part that I keep up with.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this one's cheating with this one. And yeah.
A lot, but. And they have like check-ins where they have to, if they decide, okay, one wants to get married or one wants to stay married, one wants to end it now, they have to like stay in it and then give it another week or so to decide if they really want to.
The one episode I remember is like somebody was like, I'm just gonna say staged, like punish them.
Yeah.
So it's a totally, I think I have to like look at it as a totally different show. Like it's not my Married at First Sight, but if I see it as a different show, then I think I would enjoy it more.
Yeah.
So it's very
Haley, if you go and if you're looking for some drama and you don't have, you're just like, hey, I just want to watch a good show, I would suggest season 10. That season
10. We're at season 10.
We're at season 12 right now.
Oh my word. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Season 10.
Season 10 was just, it was gold.
I think part of why I fell off was just it was like hard for me to find here because when we were watching it, like, I don't think it was on our cable. and it was hard to find on a good website, and my internet home is so shit that it was hard to like to find a way to watch it. So maybe I should figure that out.
Yeah,
because we don't know how the season's gonna go, but we know we can fill you in on, like, if you want drama, then go to this season. If you want like more like successful love stories, go to this season. So
yeah.
There's always something to watch.
Yes.
If you work hard enough, right? So or not work hard enough in my case. All right. Well, you can find me on Twitter at RJP Recapper. And thanks everybody for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.